Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 137, recorded on September 21st, 2011. Enjoy! Cool! Awesome! We're ready to go! We're ready to start the show! All right.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
Yes! Rolling that beautiful bean footage. All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iPhone, iPod Touch, App Store, iTunes, and all those fun things. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Mr. Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yep.
I'm actually kind of bored.
Well, screw you. Get off the call.
Not with this show.
Oh, okay. Well, then we'll entertain you.
With Apple was supposed to do something exciting. I'm sure we're going to talk about this show, but Apple's supposed to do something exciting for us recently, and it just hasn't happened. So,
yeah. Jeff Gamet's also here from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
It's going good. And I'm not bored. But
excellent.
I am indifferent.
Well, then we'll alleviate Adam's boredom together.
Well, you might, so because sweet. The first story is actually something I'm excited about.
Yeah, Apple building iMessage into Lion, or into iChat, rather.
Yeah, I want them to go one step further, though.
Yeah.
They need to freaking fix messaging across the board.
Okay, in what way?
It's like totally schizophrenic.
in that you have Jabber, AIM, and MobileMe / what was it before?
No, I'm talking about you. That's fine. Those are different protocols and this different services, right? I'm talking about internally. Apple's messaging platform is completely jacked. So you've got iChat, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got messaging on the phone, which is, you know, like SMS.
Yep.
You've got FaceTime.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah. The fact that FaceTime isn't integrated into iChat and Lion just doesn't make sense to me.
The fact that everything isn't integrated into everything in Mac OS X and iOS is insane. So what I'm really hoping is this is the seeds of iMessage replacing FaceTime and iChat, and it's just iMessage.
I hope you're right.
Yeah.
I fear you're wrong.
Oh, I think I'm wrong, too. But
yeah.
It's what needs to happen.
All right, so last...
I'm pretty sure that no one at Apple actually ever needs to communicate with anyone else, nor do they ever need to schedule anything. I mean, if you look at the mail apps, both on iOS devices and on the Mac, and you look at the horribly fractured messaging system, and then you throw an iCal on top of it, that just tells me no one at Apple ever communicates or schedules any appointments.
Well, here, I feel like as long as Steve Jobs has tried to impart the idea of being a loose cannon to Tim Cook, that maybe these like fresh eyes might compel some more big changes in the way that some of these applications work. Like maybe he'll just flip over a table and then 2 weeks later there'll be a fix.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see Tim Cook throwing tables
around. I can. I would like to, but I can't really visualize it. Tim Cook is. Tim Cook seems like the nicest guy ever.
He does, and when I say I can see him throwing over tables, it's because I have a really vivid imagination. But what I can really see is Tim sitting down and very quietly and very politely going, "You know, guys, this whole iChat, iMessage, FaceTime thing. This is really kind of messed up because it's all disjointed. So, I really need you guys to fix this. And I want to have a solution in 2 weeks. So we'll all meet back here, same time, 2 weeks. And you're going to show me a fixed solution, right?" But
he's going to say it in a way that like really scares them.
Well, no, he's going to say it just like that. And when someone goes, "Well, Tim, I don't know if we can get it all together like that," he'll just very politely turn around and say, "Vinny," and point to the guy. And Vinny will come around from behind the table, break the guy's thumbs. and Tim will go, "Okay, now, are there any other problems with my deadline?" And everyone will go, "Nope."
I like it.
"Great, thanks, guys."
Yeah, we've already established that that Apple has some muscle.
Muscle?
Yeah. like
By
it.
The way, I apologize to anyone named Vinny that is not a hired goon, because I don't want you to send a hired goon after me.
Or yourself. Typically, Vinny has been our go-to name for any guy who would potentially break your thumbs at the command of someone in power.
That's true. Wasn't he also the guy that I was saying was leaking iPhone information a while ago?
I thought he was the guy who was in charge of approving applications.
Yeah.
That's what it was. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Well, apparently yeah. Vinny got a promotion
yeah.
up to Thumbbuster.
Yeah, yeah.
But
all right,
you know,
but
the point on the messaging thing is still made, though, right? It's messed up. And Apple has an opportunity. Basically, it sounds weird, but they need to do Skype, but right.
Well, yeah. I mean...
right? But, I mean, at least Skype has the pieces that Apple needs, right? It has the video messaging. It has the chat. It has a lot of components that like make up the thing that I'd like to see on the desktop, but I want to see like a Skype from Apple that like works like it's supposed to work.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Also unicorns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so what we've been alluding to is that last week a developer found two bits of interesting information buried in the framework for the OS X Lion version of iChat, which includes two new properties being time delivered and time read, which are new properties to iChat and currently features that aren't implemented in iChat. However, they are implemented in iMessage in that you can get read and send receipts. So that's making us assume that we'll see that there.
It's a natural progression, and it's something that I've been hoping Apple would do all along.
Absolutely.
And now we'll see if they actually do it.
Mm-hmm. What I think is actually going to happen is I think they are going to integrate the text piece of iMessage into iChat, because there's a lot of good reasons to do that. And plus, I think it would be relatively simple for them. Because now your chat conversations can follow you from iMessage on your mobile device onto the desktop, and plus it opens up just more users. And I think iMessage is going to be a huge thing on the iPod Touch, especially for teens whose parents don't want to buy them hugely expensive SMS messaging plans.
As if they have a choice at this point, because it's been simplified by AT&T.
Well, exactly. That's why there's an opportunity here. And if Apple can put it on the desktop and get more users, then it's just going to take iMessage that much further on iOS 5, which is what I think Apple wants to do. You know, it'll help them sell more iPod touches. It'll help them sell more iPhones. So just from a business standpoint, it makes sense to do. And I really don't think it would be all that difficult for them to set up. What I don't think they're going to do is anything on the video side. I think FaceTime is going to stay its own little standalone app, and then you still have video conferencing chat in iChat. But those two things need to merge too. So I could see at some point Apple diverging and having a chat client and a video client as separate things.
Well,
I'd
okay.
like to see it all as one thing, but we could end up with just iMessage and FaceTime. And if you're doing text, it's iMessage. If you're doing video chat, it's FaceTime.
You mean iChat? iChat and FaceTime.
No, I think it's going to get branded as iMessage, because that'll be consistent across the desktop and the phone.
I mean,
just like FaceTime is consistent across the phone.
Isn't
the
but iMessage desktop. Is a specific service, and iChat is kind of an all-encompassing application which facilitates...
Does anybody know that? Honestly.
I would be surprised if...
I want to say Apple someone knows this, but I don't think so.
The geeks know it. You and I know it. I know it does Jabber, and I know it does, you know...
Sure.
Does it do Yahoo? I can't remember.
No.
I know it does AIM.
Ostensibly does Facebook.
Right. But most people don't know that. If you talk to most Mac users, iChat, it's iChat. I chat with my brother-in-law who has iChat.
Right. Now... Right? But is it called iMessages or iMessage
iOS 5? Messages.
Is it still called Messages or iMessage?
I don't know how they're going to brand it when it actually releases.
Yeah, we'll know pretty soon.
Yeah.
Well,
if they do the merge thing so that you can have the same message content between OS X and iOS, I would be surprised if they did not drop the iChat name and go with a standard name across everything.
iMessage.
So yeah. iMessage or Message or whatever they're going to call it.
Well, it's called, so if you're looking at the, if you look at the actual description of features on Apple's iOS 5 page, it is called iMessage. So it's probably going to be called iMessage on the home screen. And I, of course, I'm sure there are some people out there who have iOS 5 devices and they're yelling at their phone right now saying, of course it's iMessage. I'm looking at it right now, but yeah. And it looks like in the screenshot, it's probably called iMessage, but you don't think that there would be, because you would have to have a separate window or some way to separate what you're doing. So I can see, because of the way that Apple sets up people that you would call with FaceTime as either a phone number or email address, basically Apple ID or the phone number that's associated with that, that's how FaceTime works, and that's also how iMessage works. iChat, right. It uses AIM, Jabber, etc.
Yeah, and I don't think any of that goes away. I think they just roll that new functionality into iChat. They rebrand it, give it a new icon, and that's it. That's why I'm saying it's sure. relatively easy for them to
sure,
do.
Sure, yeah, but would it be it would be a separate window, right? Just as it is right now with other types of messaging services, because, you know, for...
Very likely, yeah.
But why wouldn't...
That's the problem. It ends up being a kludged solution that just further confuses and messes up the messaging plan, which is why my original statement still stands. Apple needs to just fix this whole thing, bring it all together into a single app.
But you think that they won't?
But I do not think that they will.
You think they're going to maybe...
I have hope.
You think we're going to have iChat and iMessage, and then so FaceTime and iMessage will be one and the same, or this sounds like a headache already.
No, again, I think ultimately whatever thing they do is going to be branded as iMessage, and my assumption is ultimately, and again, this probably isn't going to happen on iOS 5 launch. This is a couple versions of the operating system out, but I think where we're going to end up is we're going to end up with a iMessage client that's all about the text. And I think they'll move the video stuff potentially into FaceTime. But before that'll happen, they need FaceTime adoption to get wider spread, and it needs to be picked up by, you know, other clients on other platforms, which that hasn't happened yet either. So
you think that
this isn't anything that's going to happen anytime soon, I don't think.
You think iMessage is going to go into iChat, or it's going to be an iMessage app?
I think it'll go into iChat, and iChat will get rebranded as the iMessage app.
And then, there you go. And then FaceTime will be for just FaceTime.
For video.
Well, because iChat already has video. You mean specifically FaceTime video.
But I think eventually Apple will strip video out of iChat, and you're going to have a text messaging client. Because Apple does this across the board, all over the place, right? Specific apps for specific applications. So you can look at the fact that we don't have... A lot of other platforms have an integrated calendar, address book, and email client. It's all in one thing, right? Apple does it all separately. And each one syncs, and each one has its specific task. I think ultimately we might end up with messages or iMessage or whatever, and that's about text, just like it is on your iPhone, right? And then we'll have a video thing. So you want a video conference? You're going to use FaceTime. You want to chat? You're going to use iChat. How it will integrate with other services, that's the big question. You're right. But Apple doesn't generally care about that too much. I think they might just end up pushing FaceTime and go, okay, it works with everything with FaceTime. Oops, did we get dropped?
No, you just got a little bit quiet.
Sorry, again?
Yeah, but you're still good. You're good. Keep going.
All right. Does that make sense?
It does, although... I'm hoping you're wrong on the part about Apple dropping support for other protocols, because, you know, we already have iChat, which is to a degree a multi-protocol client. And so if they pull the video part out and put it into FaceTime, it would be nice to see that support the other protocols as well, but then just leave it branded as FaceTime. So you get the customer base referring to all video chatting as FaceTiming.
Yeah. It's a mess. I mean,
it sounds like it's becoming more of a mess.
This is completely jacked.
Totally.
The whole thing is completely jacked. So unless they're going to do it right and bring it in as an integrated messaging thing that includes chat and video and support for multiple platforms, then that's the right way to do it. But Apple historically doesn't operate that way.
But FaceTime right now, the cameras on the Macs now are called FaceTime cameras. They're not called iChat cameras.
Right, it's a branding thing.
So
they went from iSight to FaceTime.
Right.
I don't know. It's just a branding
thing. I just hope that iChat doesn't lose any functionality, such as the video portion. Or, I mean, there's also screen sharing in there. There's audio chat.
Okay, again,
iChat Theater.
Ask around how many people use that stuff.
Use it all the time.
Well, you do, okay? we are exceptions. We can't point to ourselves and hold ourselves up as the people.
My mom doesn't use it because she knows that I wouldn't want to talk to her on iChat. But
people are using FaceTime video chatting. If you ask how many people who have iOS devices are using FaceTime, I think you'll find, and I was completely wrong on this, I thought nobody would want to use it.
But yeah,
I know
lots
of people that use it quite frequently.
Yeah.
So,
okay. All right. So
it makes sense to rebrand it as FaceTiming, and I think Jeff's right. I mean, if Apple can get to that verb,
that's fine. I mean, I would be fine if we just called video chatting FaceTiming, even if it was in iChat. And I don't care if we call iChat iMessage. We're talking about Mac stuff now, aren't we?
Well, it all blends together.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I think it's good. It's good stuff. I like iMessage. I would just like the one thing that I would like to see in iMessage, and I'm not sure it's really possible unless Apple did some magic, would be, you know, how if you start an iMessage on one device and you move to another device, that chat is persistent across all of those devices. I would like to see that with text messages as well.
I think that can happen with iMessage, and I think that's the whole point of, and then the excitement behind it being also on the desktop, right, is that you could have that seamless experience.
So
have a conversation, you sit down at your Mac, and hey, there's the same conversation you were carrying on.
Right, and that's definitely ideal, but I'm talking like actual SMS, but the only way that would work is either Apple would have to have their own special hookup to the SMS system, or it would have to somehow be routed through your iPhone.
You know, I think this is part of the reason why AT&T, I'm doing air quotes, simplified their SMS plans, because they want to keep SMS separate from everything else. And they know that, at least among iOS device users, iMessage is going to replace SMS.
Didn't there used to be an SMS integration to the desktop via Bluetooth?
I used
to remember you used to be able to have an SMS come into your phone and then have that show up on your desktop, or like even I believe Address Book had some sort of integration where you could start an SMS and then it would go out through your phone, but that all got blocked, and I thought that was something to do with like the carriers freaking out.
That got blocked?
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Or removed,
I think,
or
so,
something?
Or it got removed.
Yeah, if anybody out there remembers what that was, I'm thinking it might have even been in iChat or something. Oh no, you can do that over AIM, I guess. But yeah, so if you have any recollection of that stuff, give us a call.
I mean, there's ways to do it. The point is it can be done. Why it's not done anymore, or why, I have a feeling that has, just in the back of my mind, it says that smells to me of carriers getting pissed. And in order to keep carrier relationships good, Apple and others kind of just went, okay, we'll stop that.
Yeah. Yeah. If you remember that, you want to give us a nice description of how that worked, or just either high or low level, whatever, 202-642-6667, or you can email us your audio comment. Audio comments are preferable. feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. So, should we talk about the iPhone 4S white appearing in AT&T's system?
Sure.
Okay. So according to Engadget, what they said, a helpful tipster sent us this tasty morsel from AT&T's internal system listing the iPhone 4S white beneath a handful of already familiar Apple handsets. Could it be? Is Cupertino actually planning on bringing a white version of its next iPhone out at launch?
Okay, so the fact that a phone carrier puts a placeholder phone into their system,
yeah,
doesn't necessarily mean they have information about a phone coming or that it's that specific phone, because someone has to get that info in there. So just for sake of argument, we'll say the IT department handles the database. So they prep the database because they know there's something coming. They don't know what it is. So they go, well, let's call it the iPhone 4S white. And then we'll have the iPhone 4S black, because there'll probably be black versions and white versions.
Right.
And then when they get something called iPhone Ultra Unicorn Titanium, then they just delete the one out that they didn't need and change the name of the one they're going to keep and roll with it.
Yeah, and I believe this is actually, this happened. This totally happened, maybe with the, maybe around the iPhone 3GS / iPhone 4. I mean, this has happened at least one other time with AT&T, and I think it was just an arbitrary placeholder. And we've also seen this with Best Buy and other places like this before. I think this may just be a response to the rumors. Of course, people at this level in working with AT&T's system have no knowledge of anything that's coming out.
No. And if I was an IT person maintaining that database and I knew I needed to put a placeholder in for an upcoming phone, I probably would have done something like iPhone 5 Thunderbolt. Just because someone's going to leak it, off, yeah. And then I can sit back and laugh because now everyone thinks that the next iPhone has Thunderbolt support.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because I'm just a dick like that.
So, along those lines, Casemate has released, or not released, they had a website up for an iPhone 5 case for a while until, I believe this was last Thursday, the 15th, until it got a lot of popularity, until, you know, some blogs started posting information about it, and then they took it down. And I believe they put up a message saying, we'll have your case when you have your iPhone or something like that. But I guess the most interesting aspect of this whole thing is, yes, we've seen some other less popular Asian case makers come out with cases based on the purported leaked iPhone 5 case design spec. But it's interesting that Casemate did that, and even more that they had a site kind of built up, and I'm not sure why they did that. Do you think this... I mean, it almost sounds like they're screwing with us.
Same reason the AT&T guy put something in his database.
Yeah, we'll have your cases
when
you have your
iPhone. Their systems ready because they know they have to move on the moment's notice. The minute the word comes out, it becomes important in this day and age to have your stuff up instantaneously.
That's true. I do agree. But yeah, it says iPhone 4S / iPhone 5 cases sign up, blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, does it seem... It seems like they've actually made or designed cases based on this. Do you think they've gone into production?
Photoshop is an amazing thing. I'm just going to say that.
And, you know, and I'm not saying this is what happened, but boy, wouldn't it be easy to get a lot of free publicity for your company that does make cases for iPhones by posting images of whatever it is that you've created in Photoshop and say, we'll have your iPhone 5 case for you.
Yep.
Let it run for a while and then take it down.
Let me talk about what I think is the bigger story here. So let's assume that they have insider info and they figured out and they've made some cases and they put some iPhone, I don't know, whatever. They Photoshop some iPhones in there or something in there to make it look like they were iPhone 5s or whatever, and they took a bunch of shots and they put it up and they put it on the website, and did you guys look at those photos? Like, the minute I saw those photos, what cracked me up the most is everybody's running around talking about the radical new design for the iPhone 5. And I looked at those images for a long time, and I kind of zoomed in and, you know, tried to get as much detail out of them as I could. I could not.
I think I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, I could not. I tweeted about this because I could not distinguish them from a current gen iPod Touch, other than the fact that it had a matte finish, you know, aluminum back rather than a glossy aluminum back. Because I think they had one case that was actually a translucent kind of back, but you could even on some of the designs through the holes, you could see the back case, and you could tell it was like the material that's on the back of the iPad 2, or it seemed to be that type of material. But the thing is the buttons on the side, black plastic, separate volume rockers, elongated, or not rockers, but just buttons, but elongated, you know, oblong shaped. And literally, I'm like, the radical new design in the iPhone 5 is apparently that the iPod Touch design.
Yeah. Well, it does. If you, you know, if you're actually going to look closely at these, it does appear as though there are spots for both mic and speaker, as well as a silent ring switch.
Right.
Which has been moved based on
the headphone jack is on the other side, right?
And at the top now. It's still at the bottom of the Touch.
Yeah, and you know, and with Photoshop, you could also put the special port for the laser cannon.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, the point is it looks like the same shape, the same kind of thickness, the same volume buttons as the iPod Touch. So I'm just like, how is that radical new? I guess it's because it's different, right? But we're going to all run around calling that radical new design. It just cracks me up.
Yeah.
Maybe we're using the wrong inflection. Maybe we're supposed to go radical.
Yeah, that's how I say radical.
Yeah.
But and then I started really thinking about it from a production standpoint, and thinking about like an iPhone 4S, something like that, where you're trying to reduce costs, you're trying to cut costs, and you have manufacturing lines that can make a backplate, right, in a certain kind of shape.
Sure.
And what are the kinds of modifications that you'd have to make to, you know, have it laser cut a couple extra holes or put holes in different places for different ports and stuff like that. And you start thinking about those sorts of things, and you're like, huh, it might make sense if the sort of, and especially if you think that there's going to be a new version of the iPod Touch that has 3G support. How close is an iPod Touch with 3G support going to be to, say, like an iPhone 4S or an iPhone 5 that has that kind of support? And it starts to get really interesting to think that maybe you want all these things having exactly the same design or as close to the same design and case structure as possible. And you can just kind of fit everything inside the same case.
That would save a lot of money and a lot of time.
Yeah. So I don't know that I don't have any evidence that's what they're doing. And there's probably it's probably a lot more complex than that. But it kind of starts to get me thinking about, hey, I wonder if, you know, if it's all the same kind of case, but then we just swap out what's inside there a little bit, and we have, you know, it cut a few extra holes here for this model and leave them out for that model, and interesting.
Yes.
So maybe you don't want a radical new design. Maybe you want a consistent design across the board.
Yeah, I'm pretty indifferent in terms of if I need a newly designed. It's just the one question in my mind is, what's taken so long? I guess it could be that maybe the A5 chip has been a little more difficult to produce for the iPhone.
Now, Michael, you're assuming that they're having issues that are causing them to delay potentially when the iPhone is released. It could just be that they're totally on track for what they planned.
But what took so long is the question. If it's just going to be this very slight change.
Nothing took so long. I think I'm going to keep coming back to that. I feel like a broken record when I say
this. Maybe they're just waiting for iOS 5.
No, they're looking at their bottom line going, crap, we're selling a lot of iPhone 4s.
Yeah, it's true. Very true.
Let's keep selling them.
Also iOS 5. I think maybe it's iOS.
Margins are really good.
Yeah.
You know, they're 30% better than when we launched a year and a half ago. hey, maybe we should just keep selling these things as long as people are buying them.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy. I like my iPhone. Very happy. So phonearena.com has posted an image of what appears to be a partially assembled iPhone 4S, as we're calling it. Basically, it has the same battery and board that we saw from previous leaks that looked like they were from the iPhone 4S, with the one change that the what looked to be an A5 chip in the other photos is actually labeled as an A5 chip now, kind of indicating that it's a further along version in the production, because I believe with earlier versions, test versions, etc., they don't necessarily label those chips. And it also has what appears to be an early version of the white iPhone 4 front panel on it. Now, let's see here. There was another.
Now, before people get too excited about the white front panel, there's no reason to expect that really is a white front panel. It might just be a plastic frame that they're using for testing.
Well, okay. So there's, did you see the other piece from MacPost? They posted
Who's MacPost?
Who knows? these photos seem to have come from Pandax Tech. Again, who are they? But so the MacPost posted a photo of the a bigger version, so you can see everything that's going on with this. So it's a partially assembled. You have your battery, you have your motherboard. Looks like maybe the camera might even be included in this, and it's all attached to a white iPhone 4 front
or set up against it.
Well, it seems to be plugged in. It seems to actually be plugged into it. Now, here's the interesting thing about it. I'm based on the proximity sensor, the little grill on this white front. It looks like one of the earlier versions of the white iPhone 4 front. Mm-hmm. Because currently the one that's actually in production has just a completely blacked out window for the proximity sensor. In the ones that were initial production that were just photos on Apple's website, and maybe the one that Steve Jobs had with him, other than that, the ones that had this type of grill were all kind of black market reproductions of what the best that they could do based on the photos. So back when I got my white iPhone 4 parts, it had that little perforated grill on it. So it's very possible that that white front has nothing to do with the next generation, the iPhone 4S front panel. It may simply be that whoever put these parts together just kind of grabbed an iPhone 4 front panel and hooked it up to the A5 board and the updated battery, because the updated battery has, I think, maybe 20 milliamp hours more. And of course it's the A5 chip. That's basically all that we can tell from the photos of it.
Sure.
But it is interesting to speculate that these parts are so interchangeable with the front panel, in that the touch screen, well, it, at the very least, the LCD panel itself is compatible with it. Not necessarily the touch screen, because they haven't, it shows up as connect to iTunes, but they haven't really indicated that they can do anything else. So that may have changed. And of course it's all taken apart too.
Sure. Okay. So now I've been bagging on all these photos we're talking about. And the reason I'm doing that isn't because I think that every photo that's coming out showing potential iPhone 5 parts is crap. But we need to look really close at all these images, and I would not take any of them at face value. They need to have a lot of scrutiny before we decide whether or not they're actually legit.
They look pretty legit. I'm just going to say, I think they look legit.
They do look good.
The most interesting thing, obviously, is that we've seen all of these, what what we're calling iPhone 4S parts. Tons of part leaks. They do look like legit part leaks because they seem to be functional, as we've seen, of course, with this, the panel actually lighting up. It says A5. It doesn't look really, I mean, it could have been Photoshopped. Who knows? But in addition with the battery and the interesting markings on the battery, etc., we've seen tons of part leaks for the iPhone 4S. We haven't seen a thing for a radically redesigned iPhone 5. It does not seem like we're going to see a radically designed iPhone 5.
You know, you'd think if...
In terms of physically outward appearance, that's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah, and you'd think that assuming all these photos that we're getting are legit, that there'd be something showing a different iPhone design if that was
other than happening. That case, the purported case design leak. I mean, it's conceivable that Apple has once again gotten their stuff locked down well enough, but I think that there are a lot of fingers in these supply chains at this point where that level of secrecy, especially assuming that we're going to be seeing an announcement within the next month that we haven't seen anything, it's pretty far-fetched.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to throw this out there because it's something really I just started thinking about almost today based on some things that I'm reading. Does anybody think that the announcement there that there is not an iPhone quote unquote 5 per se, or that the iPhone 5 ends up just being something that looks almost identical with bumps up in spec?
Are you saying, is that what we're thinking? Because that's what I'm thinking is probably going to happen. And maybe
so you're thinking that it's not. I'm thinking that there's possibility now that iPhone 4S or whatever you want to call it is what the thing ends up being. That it's an iPhone 4, but better.
That's what
and
I'm
that's
thinking.
What we get this year.
That's what I think. That's what I'm thinking. Get. And there have been analysts who have said the same thing, you know, based on the same information we've been talking about. And it seems to be the case. Now, whether it's going to be called an iPhone 4S or an iPhone 5, who knows? But it seems as though it's going to be based on the same design that we see on the CDMA iPhone 4.
And I'm saying that is not, from a marketing, press, whatever perspective for Apple, that's not going to be pretty.
No. So they should call it the iPhone 4S.
Saying just all kinds of contradictory things. We have some analysts saying it's just an updated version of the iPhone 4. We're having others saying it's two phones, and then we're having some saying it's a radical new design. And,
right.
And you know, and these are the analysts that are saying, or excuse me, are getting alleged insider information from part suppliers.
Right. Now, and I'm thinking that, you know, based on, like you said, Adam, the press around something like that, if they released what seems to be the iPhone 4S branded as the iPhone 5, I think they'd be in a lot more, they'd get a lot more crap for that than they would if they called it the iPhone 4S.
Well, and let's break this down to what really matters to me, you know, not what analysts think or not what the press media is going to think afterwards, because this show ultimately is about us, the users, right? So for you guys, what do you feel? Because I'm kind of excited about getting a new iPhone. I, you know, it's something that I look forward to every couple years or every year or so, and it's been a long, long time waiting. And I guess I'm starting to question or wonder, you know, what am I expecting and what would I be excited about versus what would I be disappointed with? And if they delivered me something that had a better processor, say a dual core processor, more RAM, and better cameras, and that was the next thing, that might be enough for me. I might look back and go, yeah, I'm going to upgrade. That'd be cool. I like my iPhone 4 now as it is, but it'd be great if it had a better camera on the back and if it was faster. But I don't know that it has to be, you know, like the transition from my iPhone 3G to a 4 or something like that.
Yeah, and I believe that's almost exactly what they did with the iPhone 3GS, right? Because with the 3G, you could not record video. With the 3GS, you could record video.
Sure. And then they added in the full-on GPS.
Right. They added
into the 3GS.
They made it
plus
faster.
Plus, you had the digital compass.
Which is nonsense. Does not work.
But it was there. You know, it was a new thing they added in.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
But it wasn't wasn't radically different, and it still sold well. So I think at the end of the day, Apple can easily do that. They can they could give us something that's exactly the same as the iPhone 4 with upgraded specs, with iOS 5 and with iCloud, and that would be a pretty significant announcement. And I think they're still going to sell a lot of phones. The flip side of that, though, is I think that analysts, Wall Street, and the press will probably have a field day with that.
I do, too. I would say more so, again, if they call it the 5 than the 4S.
Okay, so keep in mind, when the 3GS came out, there were all kinds of complaints from analysts and media because it wasn't different enough.
Right.
And it didn't matter because everyone bottom.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at. So despite all the hype, despite all of the rumor mongering and everything that we do, you know, as part of this show, at the end of the day, almost anything that Apple puts out is going to sell well at this point.
Sure. You know, you mentioned more RAM. I'm not sure we're going to see more RAM. I would absolutely love to see more RAM, of course. But I believe, as we've discussed before, the A5 has just as much RAM as we have right now. At least the A5 and the iPad 2, which is 512.
Yeah. It'd be nice if they go to a gig. Whether they do that or not, that would be an outside thing. I think at the very least, they're going to have to bump the processor and the cameras,
both cameras, front and back. Is the front camera on the iPad, is that any better than the one on the iPhone?
No.
Okay.
But there are HD FaceTime cameras for the Macs now.
Yes.
So I mean I definitely would like to see a better front camera on the iPhone. And more space. It'll be 2 years now since they've bumped the Macs.
I don't think they're going to bump the storage either. I think they're going to point everybody to iCloud and go, "Why do you need more storage?"
I feel like last week you said 64 and now this week you're saying you're flip-flopping.
Probably.
Yeah. No, there you go.
I want to see two things. Do I want more storage? Absolutely.
Yeah, me too.
Will you get more? No.
Well, yeah. The second question, are they going to give us more? I doubt it.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to get more. I like to believe in unicorns.
I think because of supply chain reasons, because of costing reasons, and because of iCloud, those three things together say to me that Apple has no intention of giving us more memory or more storage, even though that we want it.
Well, I won't be happy then. I mean, I'll be happy. I just won't be as happy. As you said. Last bit of information on the iPhone 5/4S front. All Things D has reported that Apple will be holding its iPhone 5/4S media event, whatever they're calling it, on October 4th.
What did they say last week?
I'm not entirely sure, but the quote is...
I want to go back and check. Didn't they say it was going to happen in September?
Maybe. But let me...
All Things D has been saying October for a while.
Okay, yeah. No, they did.
For the event.
Yeah, okay, so...
Oh.
For the media event. No, they...
Yeah, maybe they did say September.
Yeah, maybe they never even said.
Yeah.
I might be putting words in their mouth, but...
But you're right. They have been saying the release would be in October.
Yes, they have been consistent on that. And they're saying the 4th.
Yeah. So the quote is, while Apple could certainly change its plans any time, sources said that the October 4th date has been selected by the company to showcase the iPhone 5. Sources added that the plan is now to make the device available for purchase within a few weeks after the announcement. And The Loop's Jim Dalrymple has confirmed with a simple yep on the October 4th date of the event. Now,
Jim, man of many words.
I know, right? He's great. So it's titled on The Loop, it's titled Apple's iPhone 5 event on October 4th, but the actual pull quote that he put up has no mention of iPhone 5. So it doesn't seem like he's really confirming the name or what we're going to see, but we'll be seeing the event on the 4th, I think.
Yeah. All Things Digital might not have said the date on the event.
Yeah. Yep.
I was fully expecting some invites. I thought the event would happen this month, but
oh, I was expecting invites any time this week. Seriously, I'm surprised we didn't see it today.
Well, and that's starting to make me wonder if, again, going back to your earlier mention, Michael, about them, you know, not putting out new devices. I think that Apple has no timeline, and I think they do what they always do, which is whenever it's ready is when they're going, you know, they feel it's ready is when they're going to do something.
Yeah.
So it's like all this speculation about timelines and dates, you know, maybe at one point that was the thought internally, and then this stuff leaks out and everybody goes, oh, it's going to be this. And then something happens supply chain wise or in testing and something like that, and Apple just goes, oh no, we can wait another couple of weeks. I don't think they're under any kind of pressure for any timeline.
Well, clearly, but
it's funny that, you know, we start getting so amped up, you know, that we just want to really believe these things. And it, you know, I know I do, but
yeah,
I would not surprise me if it comes out and goes, oh, it's the end of October. If we start hearing that in a couple of weeks, it would not shock me. The one deadline they are bumping up against is holiday season.
That's true.
And if they want to continue to close out quarter after quarter with sales being up, they do need to do something, because they've always done an iPod something in the fall.
Yeah, which at this point I think is a little bit later than usual. If they did it tomorrow, it would be later
They're already running late. So and the fact that, you know, iPod sales are down too, I think they knew they needed something more, which may be another reason why they delayed the iOS next generation iPhone stuff to the fall, because, you know, iPod touches are selling, but it's certainly not like they used to. And people don't get that excited about iTunes anymore. So, you know, they're going to prop that up with some sort of iOS device, and, you know, the next generation iPhone would be the thing. But man, they are pushing the end of fall at this point.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, speaking of new iPhones, I think it's time to talk about this week's sponsor, which is Gazelle.com, GAZELLE.com. If you guys don't know, I know you both, Adam and Jeff, know what Gazelle is, but the listener, if you don't know what Gazelle is already, it's an awesome website which allows you to turn your old electronics into cash. So the way it works is hop on to Gazelle.com, type in the device that you have, such as, you know, iPhone 4, iPhone 3G, whatever. They not only do iPhones and iPod touches, they do other phones, GPS, game systems, computers, cameras, all that fun stuff. Look up the device, basically anything that has power that you would deem a gadget. Look it up. Let them know in what condition your device is, and they'll tell you how much they'll pay you to take it off your hands. So you look it up, tell them what condition it's in, and then you ship it to Gazelle. And actually, Gazelle will pay for the shipping on all items of value. So if they say that they'll give you money for it, they'll pay for the shipping. And in a lot of cases, they even give you a box. So you don't have to worry about that.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love when I get a box in the mail. So, you know, you send it in, they check it out. If it's the way that you described it, so when you actually go in there with you type in iPhone 4, for example, if you're thinking, I want to get rid of my iPhone 4 pretty soon so I can get the next iPhone, whatever it is, you type it in there, you tell it whether or not you have the charger, if you have all the original packaging, etc., if the battery still holds a charge, all that fun stuff. Now, when you send it in, they'll check it out to make sure it's the way that you described it, and if it is, they'll give you the money that you that they promised you, either via check, PayPal, or if you choose to get paid using an Amazon gift card, you'll actually get an additional 5%. So that's pretty nice. You can also donate the item's value to charity, and if the item is not worth what they quoted initially, they'll pay you what they feel it's worth, or they'll send it back for free. So there's no no risk here. And it's kind of fun. If you just type, I'm going to type in iPhone 4 right now. So I have a black iPhone 4, 32 gig on AT&T. It's asking me if it's in flawless, good, or broken condition. I'm going to say flawless. Maybe there's a scratch on there. I'll say good. It says 229. And you tell it, you know, all the different bits of details with your phone, and then you know, if you want to, you can send it in, or you can just play around, search around for what they'll pay with these gadgets. And of course, Gazelle has been around since 2006, and they've helped over 200,000 people get cash for their gadgets. Their team will make sure that all of your data is properly wiped from the device before it's resold or recycled. So you don't have to worry about that. Of course, I would recommend, just as a precaution, wiping your device yourself, but they do that themselves. And if your gadget is recycled, so they'll actually recycle your gadgets too. So if it's something that you don't want to get money for, or it's just not worth anything, they'll just recycle your stuff for you. And they actually use band certified Cloud Blue to do the recycling. So it's a very good way to recycle your gadgets as well. So if you're planning to upgrade to the new iPhone, Gazelle is an awesome place to sell your existing iPhone or other phone. If you don't have an iPhone right now, you can possibly sell that there too. So just check it out, gazelle.com, and have fun. With that, we want to talk about T-Mobile not getting the iPhone 5 this year. According to, who was it? Chief Marketing Officer Cole Broadman has said in a quote during one of their town hall meetings that yada, 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 our business is working hard. Note, we are not getting the iPhone 5 this year.
If that's true, that's disappointing.
It is, yeah.
Well, okay, I believe T-Mobile USA CEO said the very same thing a few months ago. Like right after the announcement that AT&T was going to be buying them, because there's speculation that, oh, well, with the merger, they'll get the iPhone. And he said not this year. I think he also said not before the merger is done.
Interesting.
So is that the only holdup, or does that hold hope that Sprint also isn't getting it? Because that's one of those restrictions that the iPhone has had, only being on, well, first just AT&T and then Verizon, that I think is holding them back to a certain degree in the U.S. market.
Yeah, I feel versus, like,
I mean, you look where any other market where they've gone multiple carriers, they do that much better in sales. So it's more disappointing probably for Apple than anybody else.
Now, I would assume, since the United States has such an amazingly screwed up cell phone market and infrastructure, that it's not as easy for Apple to roll out across multiple carriers as it is in other countries.
Well, you could be true, because there was also the rumor about the iPad 2, if it made it to Sprint, you know, have on their 3G network, it would be another different model. And that made no sense to me, but I don't know enough about the cell networks to know, you know, why you would need a different chip. But I think that, you know, totally messes up the process. Or it might even have been the iPhone 5 they were talking about, and that if it came out on Sprint, it would be another version. So you'd have the AT&T version, the Verizon Virgin, thinking about Virgin and Sprint, the Verizon version and the Sprint version, which totally blows the whole idea that there'd be one, you know, world phone version. Which is, I think, where we need to end up.
Why is that? Why don't you think we could have just one phone?
I don't
think anyone's making a chip yet that can handle all the carriers in the United States.
So it would be Sprint is the issue.
And Verizon.
Well, no. The weirder thing was saying that Verizon and Sprint would both have their own versions of the iPhone, which they both run CDMA networks. So it confused me. That rumor confused me, because I'm like, why can't they just have one? But, you know, there might be something weird about the bandwidth or the frequency or whatever they're doing on their network to cause that to happen.
Yeah, and Michael, when I said Verizon, I meant to say T-Mobile.
I'm very confused.
Yeah.
So, that's unfortunate. I think we'll probably still see Sprint, though, right?
God, I hope so.
That would be nice.
It seems like they're gearing up to... It seems like they're really pushing to pimp that they have unlimited data. And I think they're proud of that. And that's definitely... That's the biggest selling point for Sprint, for sure.
Okay, so let's say you don't have the iPhone. but you want to have something to draw people in to buy whatever new Android phone you're going to be carrying.
That's certainly still a good incentive.
That would be a really good incentive. So the fact that they're going to be offering unlimited data, to me, in and of itself, is not proof that they'll be getting the iPhone, just that they want to try and woo customers away from Verizon and AT&T.
Well, they've always had the unlimited data, right? They've had that, what do they call that, everything plan or unlimited, you know, it's you get unlimited text, unlimited calling, unlimited data. So they've been doing that. They've been doing that for a while. That's nothing new.
Good
point.
What's Sprint's coverage map like? Is it as good as AT&T?
I have no idea.
I don't think so.
I'm looking. It looks really good. I'm looking at the map right now. I'm going to zoom in a little.
Well, okay. When you look at Verizon's map, it looks really good. But when you look a lot closer, you'll see that a lot of these areas that they're showing coverage are areas where there's no one anyhow. So it doesn't matter.
No, I mean, I'm looking in areas that I would care about.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different.
So this is the other thing about... This is the other funny thing about the cell networks and the coverage and stuff like that. Again, go talk to there's exceptions to the rule. It's like everything that we always talk about. Tech geeks and nerds have a whole different set of requirements for devices and things like that than like regular people. Same thing with like cell phones. You talk to most people who have a cell phone and use data and ask them where do they go with it, and they go in their immediate area. So the only place that really matters for coverage for them is where they are.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So all you care about is, does the carrier have coverage where I go? Not that we have the best coverage in the nation, which is what they all advertise. Talk to most people. How much do you travel? I don't travel at all. I just stick around home. Then why do you care that you can get 4G coverage in Saskatchewan? You going there? No.
No, but you know, what if I did?
What if I did? Maybe someday I might go.
Yeah. But
I think most people do exactly what you're doing, Michael. You look at the coverage map and you go, wow, Sprint has amazing coverage in my area and they have the best deal. I'm going to go with them.
I may do that. Seriously. I'm thinking about, I mean, if I can port my number
but that
and get unlimited data and they say, don't they say that it's faster?
Well, they have 4G. I mean,
it's not going to be
wider
4G
coverage, I think, than most people. So if you can get a 4G phone.
Yeah, I don't care about 4G. I care about 3G.
Well, obviously. You're going to care about 4G a lot. I know I'm going to care about 4G. Did you see the AT&T?
Yeah, at some point in the future,
testing or something like that. It was like 20 gigabit down.
That's awesome.
Wow. Torrenting. I mean,
it was
downloading
like
legally.
Than my cable connection.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty impressive. The only unfortunate thing about these kinds of maps is they're color coded and the colors are very similar.
Of course they are.
Oh, look, you can get, that's the lighter shade of orange. No, that's the lightest shade of orange. Are you serious? There are four.
And I probably meant megabit, right?
Yeah. Four shades of orange.
Yeah. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
And Adam, you're absolutely right. Look what the coverage is where you're going to use your phone.
Yeah, I agree. And, totally.
Yeah. I mean, I'm using AT&T, but if I lived up in Steamboat, I have family that lives up in Steamboat.
There's a place?
I'd be on Verizon.
There's a place called Steamboat?
Springs. It's awesome.
So bringing it back to sort of where we started this conversation, though, that's why it's important that the iPhone is on multiple carriers, because there's certain people that the iPhone just it's not even about, they can't buy an iPhone because the carrier that has the best coverage in their area doesn't have the device as much as they want it. And as much as Apple makes it attractive, they're never going to buy it. So those are lost dollars. So that's why when Apple opens it up to multiple carriers in these markets, they end up doing well, because most people are looking at the coverage that's going to be in their area and which carrier provides that best coverage. And that's part of that buying decision.
Yeah.
So that's why I hope that Apple opens it up to all the carriers in the States. And that was unfortunate that, you know, T-Mobile was saying they weren't going to get it. Because I know people who love T-Mobile in this area, and they they have great coverage with them and they're really happy and they want an iPhone, that you ask them, why don't you have an iPhone? Well, whenever T-Mobile gets it, I'll buy it. So there you have it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Definitely. If Sprint actually gets it, I'm intrigued. Especially because now that you brought up the 4G, because they've been working hard on that 4G network, and yeah, it's not going to be on the next iPhone, but on the next iPhone.
Yeah, but then everybody's going to have 4G.
Yeah, whatever.
So it's going to be the same conversation. Who has the best 4G coverage in the places that you go to?
And probably
the question
Sprint.
Is will you be able to choose the phone that you want? See, that's what's so lame about the whole carrier locking thing. Is you often can't get the device you want on the network you want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem.
Oh, and I'd have to get out of my stupid contract.
All right,
contract.
I have to go down a rabbit hole.
I just forgot about that stupid contract.
Yeah, stupid contracts. All right, I'm taking us down a rabbit hole. So I just got a spam text on my iPhone. Totally fracking pisses me off that I get these things.
I got a couple this week, too, on AT&T.
I get none.
Yeah.
Should I give up my phone number more often? Is that the problem?
Yeah, you should. But see, I'm not giving
up this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
Which
not
one
giving
was
out
it?
My phone number. Are you struggling with back taxes?
Let me check if I got that same one. I think it might be somebody attacking AT&T's network.
All right. So I'll even share the phone number. It's 951-294-4479. That's who texted me.
I would recommend not sending them hate texts or anything, because they may just add you to their list.
Yeah.
I think unfortunately I deleted it, but I think it was there's something very similar.
But okay, so here's the thing that annoys me. Why can't I just select that message on my iPhone and say block all calls
and
texts from this number?
Me too. I was afraid to click anything on it for fear that it was going to
confirm,
go back somewhere.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the spam I get comes through Twitter, actually. Surprisingly. All right. So, according to several readers who have contacted Apple regarding multiple Apple IDs, Apple is apparently working on allowing people to merge their multiple Apple IDs.
That would be nice.
Now, could you explain to me why that would be nice? Because I only have one Apple ID and I'm fine.
All right. There's a lot of people that have multiple Apple IDs for various reasons. I have one Apple ID that I created before Apple was actually doing the whole Apple ID thing the way they are.
Uh-huh.
Then when Apple introduced iTools.
Yep.
And then switched over and it became .Mac. At that point, I suddenly had a second Apple ID because I had the original one I set up, but then the one that I ended up with because of .Mac. So now I have two Apple IDs. And I have to remember what is associated with each of those Apple IDs. So it'd be really nice to be able to merge them together so that I don't have to remember anymore what purchase is associated with what ID, and it would be very nice.
Yep.
Yeah.
I had a similar situation happen. Somehow I ended up with a developer account Apple ID that was separate from my main Apple ID, and I haven't been able to merge those. So it's like I have to go log in with one, log in with the other.
Oh, yeah, I do have
that
too.
Thank God I didn't make any purchases under one of them, like on the iTunes store.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So it's just...
Yeah,
it's
unlike me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Mac Rumors reader Robert emailed Apple CEO Tim Cook about the issue and quickly received a phone call from an Apple executive relations employee. She had spoken to the team responsible for Apple IDs and acknowledged that they understood the issue and that more people would run into the problem with iCloud. She also repeated that there is no way yet to combine accounts, but revealed that they are working on it. In the meantime, she recommended picking a single account to plan on keeping indefinitely and make all future purchases on that account. And that's what I would recommend, too. assuming they're going to do this, and of course, for your own sanity, just try to stick to one now. That, and I guess you know, my Apple ID is just a standard email address that I use for as my regular email address, so that's good. I'm not using my account or anything like that.
And I'm really hoping more than merging it, they're going to do more like the FaceTime methodology, which is you have the one Apple ID that you use, and then you can associate the other accounts with it.
That would be nice.
Does that make sense? So they kind of, they don't go away, but it's aware that, okay, these are also your accounts, and all the stuff that you purchased or bought or interactions you've had with us under these accounts fall under this main one that you've defined. And the reason for that is multiple. Mostly, I'm curious how they would manage or handle family accounts, where this is the other area where this seems to crop up a lot, especially with things like the iTunes Match, music sharing, and stuff like that. Sort of like if one family member buys stuff under one account and then somebody uses another account, the way people have historically gotten around this is you just basically, you can authorize multiple iTunes with different accounts so that you can, you know, play your music and sync and stuff like that. But you know, how does that all come together if suddenly everything's iCloud and backup? And I don't know. Apple's got a lot of challenges, which is, I think, why this merging hasn't happened before. It gets really complicated when you start thinking about all the edge scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
I don't envy them having to figure it out.
So the last story here, Apple is planning to reset iCloud backups on September 22nd, possibly ahead of an iOS 5 Gold Master being released. So basically anybody who is on the iCloud beta, if you're a developer and you've been backing up and restoring, et cetera, to iCloud, and I believe this also counts for music, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anything in iCloud, backups, application data, and music, it's all going to be reset on September 22nd from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's going to be unavailable. And at that point, basically, we're assuming, and I believe this is kind of put out there by 9 to 5 Mac and then further confirmed by Boy Genius Report, that we'll probably see, it's likely that we'll see a Gold Master going out to developers around that time. And it's interesting also that Mac Rumors notes that the official start of fall is September 23rd, and that's when Apple told us that we would be getting our iOS 5. But again,
and just to be clear, they didn't say September 23rd, they said fall.
Yeah, which does not, yeah, exactly. And again, even if we did see it on the 23rd, the Gold Master, that's for developers only.
Right.
That's to make sure that everything's cool.
And when does winter officially start?
Whenever it starts snowing.
No, when is it? Is it December?
When the rooster builds its nest.
This is awful. I can't remember when the season changes happen.
Oh, I don't know either.
But so that means, actually, I think fall officially
December
goes into December
22nd.
There we go.
Right?
Sure.
Okay.
Sounds good.
So if Apple wants to stick with fall, technically, we could see iOS 5 on December 22nd.
Yeah, but then, that's not going to happen, though, because...
No, it's not. But yeah, just one of those things I want to toss out there so people don't think that just because September 23rd has happened that we will have iOS 5 delivered within a couple days of that. We might, but, well, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's going to happen after October 4th, right? Because they need to have their event.
Yeah, I would say so, definitely. And I think we're going to see some surprises in iOS 5 for sure.
I'd be okay with some surprises.
I love surprises.
I love good surprises.
Hey, I've got a surprise for you. How about we do our iDevice picks now? Was that surprising?
Sure.
I was shocked.
Okay,
I was speechless.
Good, I did a good job. Jeff, what is your pick this week?
Okay, mine is not software this week.
All right.
All right, so the setup is my iPhone 4 screen is the most scratchable screen I've ever had on an iPhone. And so probably about 4 months ago, I think, I went to the mall and went to the BullShield or InvisiShield, whatever the company is.
Zag.
Yeah, Zag. I went to their booth, which is, you know, like just a few feet away from the Apple store, and had them put one of their screen protectors on. And to cut to the chase, 4 or 5 months later, whatever it is now, I peeled the thing off and was horribly disappointed. It didn't work well for the image. It obscured the image some, I thought. It didn't stick very well, and it was hard to move my fingers around on it. So I just peeled the thing off. Went and bought the HD anti-glare film from Power Support, put that on. Holy crap, this stuff fracking rocks.
I've heard that one is really good.
Interesting.
I am really impressed with this. It cuts the glare off the screen. The image looks beautiful, so it's not obscuring the image like the Zag screen cover did. It's very easy to slide my fingers on the surface, and installing it was a process of just a few minutes. I spent more time cleaning the glass just to make sure I wouldn't have any dust particles than I did actually applying the sheet, and no liquids involved.
Oh, excellent.
With the Zag thing, you know, I had to give them my phone, and they had to hold on to it for like half an hour so they could install it and let it set up before they gave it back to me. And then they gave me the warning, you know, I have to be careful for the next day while it finishes setting up. And with this, it was clean the glass, put it on, and then sit there in awe as I played with it. It was great.
Yeah, it's static cling, right?
Yeah, but it's not static cling like you would think, where it goes down and then you can just peel it up real easily. It goes down and it sticks.
Cool.
And it sticks really well. I'm really impressed with it. So it was I got it at the Apple store, and it was $14.95, and it actually includes two screen protectors.
Awesome. That's probably cheaper than the Zag film, right?
It is.
Yeah, the Zag, I think it cost $25. Ish. It was below $30, but not by much, and that included the installation. The nice thing about that is that if you do like that screen protector, and I know a lot of people do, it just wasn't for me, it comes with like a lifetime replacement. So as long as you save your receipt, you can go back to the little kiosk, hand them your phone, show them your receipt, and then it's like $12, and they install a new one for you.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
Or you can go through the website and you just pay the shipping to get a new one. So if you're a DIY, you know, do-it-yourself kind of person. Because I had the Zags for a long time, and I really did like them. I didn't have the same issues that you had with them, Jeff. Other than I would agree with you on the there is kind of a tactile difference to them.
Yeah,
for sure. And a lot of people don't like that. It didn't bother me all that much, but certainly it is.
It bothered me a lot.
Yeah. The one question I have for you about the Power Support that I've heard is the anti-glare. Occasionally, some people note kind of a specular highlighting to a certain degree, and sometimes at certain angles, I guess, because it kind of refracts some of the light coming from the phone. Odd. Have you noticed any of that?
No. Actually, I haven't, but okay. I will pay attention for that now.
Yeah, I had a Power Support screen protector for my first gen iPad that did anti-glare, and it really made the pixels kind of evident, made them kind of pop out. You know what I mean?
That's the only complaint, but I think I'd be willing to take that trade-off if it's depending on how noticeable it is. And I don't think it's that noticeable. When I really start to press people who mention this, they're like, well, if you hold it, you know, in the right light at the right angle and the moon is aligned with Venus, then you can see this thing.
Well, Jeff, did you notice that on the iPhone 4 one?
Huh?
No. The image looks great.
Awesome. Well, so I would take your word. Jeff is a part-time, would you say part-time graphic designer?
Well, not anymore. Well, I used to
he has a good eye.
Design.
He has a good eye, and I don't think I would trust your opinion. I think you're pretty
particular
about that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah, I'm actually playing with my iPhone right now, trying different angles to see what happens with the screen colors. And what I'm finding is that the screen color changes that I get, which are very, very subtle, are exactly what I would expect even without the screen protector. Because there, you know, there's a point where you have to just accept the fact that you're looking at a sharp angle through the pixels,
right?
Which means that the colors don't line up properly anymore.
Yeah, but, and like where I was going with this was, I think more importantly is the anti-glare, which I've heard on that is awesome, especially for like using outdoors and stuff like that. So you, yeah, where you might lose a little bit of that, you know, and you're always going to do that with any film. You have an extra layer between the screen and the, you know, what you're looking at. So there's always going to be some degradation of the image. You just can't avoid it. You've got an extra layer of stuff. But if you can suddenly see your device outside a lot better, then it may be worth the gain or the loss.
Yeah, totally. I did that. That was my favorite part about that screen protector, was that it got rid of a lot of glare.
You know, I'm so pleased with how this is on my iPhone. I wish there was some place in Denver where I could go and see these on an iPad, and they make them for laptops too. They make one specifically for the MacBook Pro line and the MacBook Air line.
Oh, cool.
And I really don't like the reflectiveness that I have on my MacBook Pro screen. So I'd love to check one of these out there, and if it's good enough, put one on my laptop too.
Awesome. Well, it's $14.95. It's the HD anti-glare film for the iPhone 4. And you get two of them. So check
yes,
it out.
You do.
Power Support. Is it powersupport.com?
Powersupportusa.com.
There you go. And there will
They're
be a link in the show
notes. They carry
in
the Apple Store.
Cool.
Yeah, they don't carry the iPad or the Mac ones.
Hmm. Yeah, just check out the website. Adam.
I'm going to hope I don't steal yours, Michael.
Mine, you're not going to steal mine.
You know, it's not MadPad?
Nope, what's that?
Okay, so I'm a sucker for the Smule stuff. First and foremost, mm-hmm. you guys know Smule?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Ocarina and yep. Magic Piano and it's the violin one I have on my iPad. I can't remember now.
Magic Violin.
Magic Violin. Okay, so they came out with this new app called MadPad. And it's basically the idea behind it is a world sampler. So you sample noises around your environment and you sample 12 different noises, but it also captures video and you can do it from the front camera or the rear camera. And it's smart how it does it. So you hit record and before you do it, you have to kind of do a setup for your environment. So it'll only start recording at a certain volume level. And so it listens for when it hears a noise and then when it stops and it captures that sample. So you sample into basically 12 little drum pads. And then you can use those to create music. And then you can take that and you can share it out on YouTube and Facebook and stuff like that. I haven't done any of the sharing stuff with it, but it's just really fun to play around with. So you know, I was just sitting around eating breakfast one morning and so you sample tapping the plate and crunching some food and tapping on the table and taking a drink of water. And you can then just mix all that together into your own little kind of music samples. And then they make it so you can actually share your samples out. You can download samples, I think, from other people and just start playing around with it. It's just a lot of fun. And the video element's kind of cool, too. So if you're using the front-facing camera and you're making noises with your mouth or something like that, you can make different facial expressions. So you get the visual along with the audio. And I've had a lot of fun playing around with it. And it's like 99 cents. About the... My only complaint is... Huh?
$2.99.
Oh, it was 99 cents when I... On the iPhone. Are you looking at the iPhone or the iPad?
I'm looking at the HD.
Yeah, so I picked up the iPhone one, which is 99 cents. I think on the iPad, it's $2.99. And that was going to be my one complaint. I almost would have preferred that I pay, well, I guess I could pay $4.99. Would have been nice to pay $2.99 and have the plus, but I might buy it on the iPad too.
What's the pick going to be? You want to pick the HD or you want to pick the
Just MadPad. I don't think it matters. You know, I kind of prefer universal apps. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah, I know why, because it makes sense.
Well, yeah. So, like, because, like, yeah, I can pay $3.99, and I think it's worth $3.99. I would have preferred to pay $3.99 and had one app to download, versus now I have to pay $3.99 and I have two apps that I have to manage.
Right.
So that's about the only downside. But a lot of fun to play with. I think the price is right, and there's some cool stuff being created. If you search MadPad on YouTube, you can see some kind of sample little songs and stuff. It's kind of funny.
Cool.
I think you'll be seeing some professional musicians playing around with this and doing some creative stuff too. So.
Awesome. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. It's fun at the very least.
Yep. MadPad, either 99 cents or $2.99 for the iPad version.
Oh, and can I do a, can I throw out a, I need to mention something about a previous pick.
Sure.
No, this is because I think we've picked before Snapseed, the photo editor from Nick Software.
Yes.
Which was
awesome.
$4.99. Right now, the, what's today, the 20th? Until the 23rd, it is free.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, downloading.
Yeah, you need to download it now. If you didn't buy it, download it while it's free.
Yeah, good. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So my pick is that. Snapseed free. There will be a link in the show notes, but get at it. Snapseed, one word. All right, so my pick this week is something very cool for your iPad as well as your computer. I would not recommend it for the iPhone. So I believe on, was it July 22nd? 21st. July 21st, the last space shuttle came down. It landed. About 7 hours later, one of the people that I've been working with on the last shuttle project actually got to go inside the space shuttle Atlantis just 7 hours after she landed. And as they hadn't even pulled it into the processing facility or anything. So they actually had it out for that block party that NASA did special for the very last flight. So she got in there just 7 hours after. So it was still fresh. She said it smelled like astronauts.
Which means it probably smelled really bad.
It smelled like BO is what it probably smelled like. But the best
but
kind
that's
of
okay.
BO. Yeah. And what she did was she took a 360-degree virtual reality image of the flight deck and the mid deck. And currently, I actually helped them put up the web version of this. There is a... that VR is up on thelastshuttle.com, thelastshuttle.com. And so you can go there on your Mac or your PC or what have you. It'll show up in Flash. And you can zoom around, look up, down, side to side, all around the flight deck of the Space Shuttle Atlantis just after she came back. There's even a little plaque on the center of the dash commemorating the last flight. And you can zoom in, you can read the buttons. It's really cool to see what kind of complicated switches. I mean, they have so many buttons and switches in there. It's just nuts. Just stuff everywhere. But the cool part is, so yeah, you can check it out on your Mac, but what you really want to do is go to thelastshuttle.com on your iPad, and you'll actually be able to use the gyroscope to look around inside the cockpit. So you turn around, look up, down with your iPad, and you can actually pinch to zoom in on any of that stuff. It's really fun. So check it out. Of course, it's free. Thelastshuttle.com. Just check it out on your iPad. You can do it on your iPhone, but again, the screen size is just, it's so small that I'm not entirely sure it would be worth it to do.
It's like your iPad becomes a little virtual window.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I like it. So check it out, thelastshuttle.com. With that, I think it's time. Well, of course, you can check out the iPhone picks as well as our show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. Review the show or rate the show in iTunes. We really appreciate that. You can send your feedback to feedback@wehavecommunicators.com, email, or audio comments if you'd like. Of course, check out our sponsor, gazelle.com. And see what your gadgets are worth and maybe sell that iPhone 4 before you get the next iPhone. Of course, our advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. We thank them for that. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com. Of course, at Jay Gamet on Twitter, and Zazzle.com/Jay Gamet is where you can find his drawings on various things such as shirts, mugs, hats, etc., including the We Have Communicators mug.
Everything tastes a lot better in that mug.
It's true. Thanks for being here, Jeff, as always.
And as always, thanks for having me on.
Yep. Adam Christensen is at the MattCast, mattcast.com, and at MattCast on Twitter. You can find the member version of the MattCast at member.mattcast.com.
Yeah. Yeah, we covered some Automator and Lion stuff recently on that. Did I, the one thing I wanted to mention to people if they didn't see it, did I talk about my Why Are You an Apple User episode?
I think so.
Of the MattCast that I did? Well, I'll mention it again because it's worth checking out if you haven't checked it out.
Or maybe I heard about it from somewhere. I'm not sure, but yeah.
Yeah, Jeff Gamet. Oh, wait, Jeff.
Oh, hey.
Jeff was on that. Ken Ray, Victor Cahiao, Peter Cohen, John Martellaro from Mac Observer, Veronica Belmont, Dave Hamilton, a bunch of other people. I just got a bunch of podcasters, Mac folks, and asked them why they are Apple users. And if you haven't heard that episode, that's the August 31st episode of the MattCast. You should check it out. And mainly because I'm also looking for, I'm going to do some follow-up episodes with stories from listeners on why they are an Apple user. So I'm asking people to send in audio comments answering the same question. And I'm getting a lot of really great ones back from people, and I want to get more. So there might be a couple follow-up episodes to this. So if you haven't heard that episode, go check it out and send me your feedback. Looking for 3 to 5 minute audio comments on why you're an Apple user.
Cool.
You know, that was so much fun to do. So thank you for asking.
Yep.
And of course, you can find me on Twitter. At Michael Johnston is my main Twitter. And you can check out at Lil Reviews, L-I-L Reviews, for little Twitter bite-sized reviews of various things. So check that out. And with that, we will see you next week. And we have communicators.
An iPod, an iPod, a phone, and an internet communicator.
How are we going to communicate this?
A stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck.